world, folks. I really do yearn for the old world sometimes, you know, when I look at videos like that. How incredible those buildings were, just how incredible the whole culture was that we had. And we swapped it all for what we've got now. And isn't what we've got now just so wonderful? Such attractive buildings, you know? Yeah, we really did have some good stuff going on in the old world. And they destroyed it all to replace it with what we've got now. That's what all these wars are about, folks. They're all about destroying infrastructure and destroying any trace of the old world. You know, the bombing of London in World War II, the bombing of Berlin, the bombing of Dresden, with ISIS going right across the Middle East, destroying Arab infrastructure, basically destroying the old world. You know, a few years ago, ISIS went and bombed Aleppo and Palmyra, all of these really ancient sites. Even now, bombing Syria, bombing Lebanon. Israel's going into Lebanon and just bombing places that have been there for 3,000 years, same as Gaza, just destroying the old world. That's what all these wars are about, folks. They're not about winning anything. You ever notice through all these wars, nothing really changes. The agenda keeps going along. They might remove some figurehead. Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler, whoever. Some figurehead, Pol Pot, but the agenda continues. All that really happens during these wars is lots of civilians get killed and lots of old buildings get destroyed. But never the government buildings. Funny how that works. World War II, they never bombed the Reichstag. They never bombed number 10 Downing Street. They never bombed Buckingham Palace, Windsor Castle. Never bombed the Eyrie, Hitler's eagle's nest up on the mountain. They never bombed any of that stuff. They just bomb the cities, destroy all of the old infrastructure and replace it with what we've got now, this ugly, bland, square-styled surveillance grid, which is getting more and more dystopian as the days go on. Surveillance, they've developed a new camera now, folks, that can use facial recognition and it can see and identify you in the dark from a half a mile away. Well, that's very comforting, folks. It's nice to know our government's got that sort of control over people. And it's all about control, folks. Everything they do is about control. And Trump, what Trump is doing is all about control. It's incredible to see how many people are still cheering Trump on. All of the stuff that he's doing, this is the New World Order. This is all the stuff we warned you about. This is a mass surveillance grid. He's doing some things that are good along the way, but these are all new things that were introduced by the Biden administration, which is of course why the Biden administration did that, or whatever that administration was, because that certainly wasn't Joe Biden. Guy kept changing height, looking differently. I mean, you know, it wasn't Joe Biden, it was someone in a mask pretending to be Joe Biden. But that administration put so much weird stuff in place. LGBTQ, allowing men to compete in women's sports, all sorts of stuff like that. Trump's rolled that back. He's freed women's sports again, which is good to see.
With this executive order, the war on women's sports is over. From now on, women's sports will be only for women.
he does expect the Olympic Committee and the NCAA to no longer allow men to compete in women's sports.
Yeah, and he's doing all sorts of things which appear to be good on the surface. But by the other token, he's doing a lot of really bad things as well. USAID, he's removing all of USAID basically to everybody. So much so that the USAID office, I think in Washington, has actually closed and taken their sign down off the door. And they were funneling billions of dollars to the most ridiculous things through USAID. I mean, they were paying millions of dollars to fund the creation of a Sesame Street TV show in Iran. Think about that. This is being paid for by the US government through USAID. What do you need that for? How are they trying to brainwash the kids in Iran? Well, that's of course what it's for. And it's all Jewish control, folks. I mean, the whole television system, it's all run by Jews. It's all Jewish propaganda. Everything you see on the TV, pretty well everything you see in the movie industry, apart from independent releases, is all Jewish propaganda. Like, all of it. It's remarkable. And other stuff. There was one report where he put out, and he literally lied to try to cover his face, but there was one report that Trump put out when he said it's come to his attention that we have been sending like $50 million to Gaza for Hamas to buy condoms. And then he tried to cover his ass by saying, and Hamas has been using these condoms to make bombs.
We identified and stopped $50 million being sent to Gaza to buy condoms for Hamas, 50 million. And you know what's happened to them? They've used them as a method of making bombs. How about that?
There was about to be 50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza.
They're making condom bombs. Hamas floats these things up with bomb-making materials and then kaboom, booby-trapped condom. Look it up. It's a dual-use technology.
Just ridiculous. How the fuck do you use a condom to make a bomb? And the fact is that he was doing that just as an excuse to pull the funding, when really the funding was going to the province of Gaza in Mozambique as an anti-AIDS initiative. So the condoms weren't even going to Gaza Strip, they were going to Gaza in Mozambique. So how on earth were Hamas using them to make bombs out of them? You know, they were going there to prevent the spread of AIDS in Mozambique. And AIDS itself is more bullshit. There is no AIDS. I mean, God knows where the money was actually going. But yeah. But the fact that he lied, totally lied, when he said, oh, they were using it to make bombs. No, they weren't. It was a different Gaza, you imbecile. But he's removed so much support from so many agencies. It appears that he's reducing the size of government somewhat. But what's going on in the background? Well, you've got our good friend Elon in there, who is actually working through Doge to replace certain government officials with AI, which will now be doing the decision making in those departments. So no need to pay employees. Government efficiency. For years now, and like for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been screaming it from the rooftops that we're heading for an AI takeover in 2025. I first put this out there, I think, on the Richie Allen Show in like 2017 or 2016 or something, a long time ago, when I said that in 2025 our relationship with the internet is going to change. We're going to reach a point where our systems have become fully dependent upon the internet, and our relationship with it is going to change. And I've been saying for the last year or two, many, many times, that we're heading for a situation where soon we will not need government in its current form, in as much as we won't need humans in government, or we'll have a figurehead because all the decision making will be made by AI. And it's pretty much that way already. I mean, even with the executive orders that Trump's been signing, and he's been literally rapid firing executive orders, but these are already written. He isn't going at home at night and writing out an executive order for what he wants to do. This has all been given to him by AI. It's all been pre-planned, and he's just signing the orders and saying, look what I'm doing now. And it's all moving towards the same thing. And what he's done by removing funding from all these things, and all the other stuff he's doing, like tariffs. He's brought in tariffs against China, against Canada, against virtually everybody. He's bringing in tariffs. And people are saying this is a good thing. It's going to bring trade back to the US economy. It's going to strengthen the US economy. No, it's not. What it's about is destroying the US economy and destroying the world economy. That's what these tariffs are for. I mean, tariffs are just tax. And you pay for it. They don't pay for it. Nobody else pays for it except you. It's just a secret 25% tax he's putting on everything. You know, the US gets a lot of goods from Canada, gets a lot of goods from China, gets a lot of goods from all over the place. See, the whole world does. There is no autonomy anymore in many countries on Earth. It's this codependency. It's the stuff I warned people about back in my first film, The Big Picture, when I said there's been a system of international codependency has been set up so that all nations are dependent upon other nations. If we have useless trade things in place just for the sake of having trade, like, you know, apples in New Zealand don't get sold in New Zealand, they go to Europe and get sold in Europe, and New Zealand buys their apples from someplace in Africa. Why? It grows its own apples there. Why does it need to import apples from somewhere else? Well, just so there's a trade system. So that your apples are going over to Europe and then you're supporting Africa by buying apples off them. It's just all there. So people don't even know how to do things anymore. I mean, they wouldn't think of actually maybe buying their own apples and selling their own apples in their own country. It's just not the way it works. You need government permits and all sorts of shit. So there's been this system of international codependency that's been set up. And when you bring in a tariff, I mean, say America's buying $1,000 worth of avocados from Mexico. And Trump says, well, you're going to have a 25% tariff. So now that $1,000 worth of avocados is going to cost $1,250. And Mexico says, well, that's no good. I mean, they're still selling it. It isn't that they get any more. Mexico doesn't have to pay any more. It's the person who buys the avocados, the business who buys the avocados from Mexico, now has to pay an extra $250 for its $1,000 worth of avocados. And that $250, Mexico doesn't get that as any extra. That goes to Trump, goes to the government. And now the retailer has to actually sell his avocados for an extra 25% of what he would have last week because there's a tariff. He's got to cover that. So it comes down to the consumer. It's just basically the US government putting a 25% tax on everything you buy if it comes from one of these other countries. And then these other countries say, well, in retaliation to Trump putting a tariff on us, we'll put a tariff on him, which means all the people in Mexico, now they buy, I don't know, oranges from America. $1,000 worth of oranges now cost them $1,250. And it isn't the people who get the benefit. The people have to pay that extra 25%, and the Mexican government gets to keep 25%. It isn't any type of a pushback to Trump's tariff. It's just, well, okay, well, you're getting away with taxing your people 25% on everything they do. We'll do the same, and we'll say that we're combating you and retaliating against what you're doing. It's not, it's a scam. And it's designed to just drive the price of everything up in every country and crash the world economy. That's what it's for. And all of these aid organizations that he's pulled money away from, you notice he hasn't pulled any funding from Israel. He's actually increased aid going to Israel. He's now sending them 2,000 pound bombs again. Like $1 billion worth of weapons or something is going off this month to Israel. He's also continuing to send support to Zelensky in Ukraine. But he's made a deal with Zelensky. Well, if we continue to send you money, I mean, we can do it, we can continue to send you money, but you need to give us something back. So you need to give us mineral rights to your rare earth minerals in Ukraine. And Zelensky's going, well, yeah, okay, we can do that. This is exactly how the whole economic hitman thing works. Remember that book put out by someone, Perkins, Tales of an Economic Hitman? They would go in and get these countries massively in debt. They go and develop them and give them all sorts of stuff, and they get them massively in debt. And then they say, well, of course, you're not going to be able to pay the debt, so just give us some of your rare earth minerals and some of the resources of your country, and we'll call it quits. And they destroy the country that way. That's what they did with Ethiopia. That's what they did with all sorts of countries through Africa. And this is now what they're planning to do with Ukraine. But the fact that they haven't pulled any funding from Israel at all, in fact, they've increased funding. Because Israel now believes it's going to take over the world. I mean, Trump's just said the U.S. is going to occupy Gaza. That's just the way it's going to be.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job, do something different. Just can't go back. If you go back, it's going to end up the same way it has for 100 years.
Peter?
Would Palestinians have the right to return to Gaza if they left while the rebuilding was happening?
It would be my hope that we could do something really nice, really good, where they wouldn't want to return. Why would they want to return? The place has been hell. It's been one of the meanest, toughest places on earth. And right now, it's I've seen every picture from every angle, better than if I were there. And nobody can live there. You can't live there. If we can build them through massive amounts of money supplied by other people, very rich nations, and they're willing to supply it. If we can build something for them in one of the countries, and it could be Jordan, and it could be Egypt, it could be other countries, and you could build four or five or six areas. It doesn't have to be one area. But you take certain areas and you build really good quality housing, like a beautiful town.
Of course, a lot of people are saying this is an absolutely preposterous idea. And it is a preposterous idea, because you're going to have to kill over 1 million people for that to happen, because the Palestinians will never leave. You can say this and say that, are we going to send you to a nice place to live in Jordan or whatever, but it's not Palestine, it's not their land. There's been thousands of people fight and die in an effort to keep their land and for them to keep their country. They're not going to just give up and go away. They'll live in tents, they'll drink sewage water if they have to, and they'll eat bugs before they will leave their land. You won't be able to transfer them into Jordan, you won't be able to transfer them into Egypt. Even if these countries agree to take them, which they don't want to because they don't want to be part of any plan that's going to be used to displace the Palestinian people, they're never going to go. The Palestinians are never going to go. So you're going to have to genocide the entire country for your plan to come through. And they've even got plans. I mean, when Bibi Netanyahu went to the United States, a lot of people say, well, he took that as a surprise. That was a surprise to him when Trump said that he was going to take control of Gaza, the US was going to take control of Gaza. And Benjamin Netanyahu was shocked. He's hoodwinking him. He's making sure there's a permanent ceasefire and he's going to put Gaza under US protection. No, he's not. He intends to ethically cleanse the whole place.
Are you ready? Have you been chosen to be part of the new Riviera of the Middle East in the next-gen city brought to you by Tesla and the Trump Organization? The city of the future, where there are good people on both sides, and Palestine is finally free of Palestinians. The only democracy in the Middle East is coming to what used to be Gaza. Finally, gay people will be welcome, but not trans. Together, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and Benjamin Netanyahu will transform the hellhole that was once home to millions of occupied Palestinians to a technological wonderland with Western values, powered by the innovation of Tesla, the grace of Netanyahu, the genius of Donald Trump, ethnic cleansing, and migrant labor. And the best part? The only Palestinians are the dead bodies buried below. The Holy Land, the Promised Land, Gaza Largo.
Yeah, something like that. But people say Bibi was surprised when Trump made this announcement. Well, no, he wasn't, folks, because when he arrived in Washington, he had a PDF file with him showing Trump his plan for the new Gaza.
Their 2035 Gaza plan to rebuild Gaza into an Israeli version of Dubai. How are Israel and the United States going to steal the oil and all of the natural gas off of Gaza and to enrich the likes of BlackRock and Vanguard? Well, look no further than the brand new Gaza 2035 plan, which Netanyahu unveiled this weekend. Great timing, too. He's like, hey, we're about to destroy Rafah, totally eliminate about a million people. Here's a 9-page PDF for our plan. This is what we plan to do in Gaza, which is perfect. It's like a, you know, we want to build our own Dubai in Gaza. Perfect timing. So take a look at this. This is the new Israel 2035 plan for Gaza. Look how beautiful that will look once they rebuild it and kick all of those all those dirty Palestinians out of there. Mm-hmm. And they'll build new rail infrastructure, new port infrastructure. It'd be easy access to all of that oil. And they'll be able to get all of this into the Middle East economy. So a place so devoid of Palestinians, of course, as they describe it. They describe it as a future where Gaza is de-radicalized from Islamism, transformed into a trade hub of prosperity and innovation, and integrated into the Middle East economy. So a place totally devoid of Palestinians, of course. According to the Jerusalem Post, the documents lay out three steps to return Gaza to self-governance and economic growth.
Yeah, Gaza Largo, like that clip said. Yeah, it's almost like he's going to just ethnically cleanse it, set it all up as this new resort where people are going to be able to have the pleasure of going there and knowing that they're walking on the bodies of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dead women and children that were massacred and murdered in order to create this monstrosity of modern ugliness, which they say is beautiful. No, it isn't. The buildings that I had at the start, they're beautiful. This glass, steel, fucking AI crap is ugly. Ugly shit. It's not like the real world. There's no earthiness to it. There's no soul to any of that. It looks pretty, but there's no soul to any of it, you know? And Trump let it slip the other day as well when he said, we're going to have to relocate 1.5 million people.
Looking at the whole Gaza Strip right now, and it's a mess. It's a real mess.
So you'd like Jordan to house people from
Gaza? I'd like him to take people. I'd like Egypt to take people. I'm talking to General El-Sisi tomorrow, sometime, I believe. And I'd like Egypt to take people, and I'd like Jordan to take people. You're talking about probably 1.5 million people. That whole thing, it's over the centuries, that's had many, many conflicts, that site. And I don't know, it's something has to happen, but it's literally a demolition site right now. Almost everything's demolished, and people are dying there. So I'd rather get involved with some of the Arab nations and build housing in a different location where they can maybe live in peace.
Temporarily or with anything?
It could be either. It could be temporarily. It could be long-term.
The population of Gaza Strip is 2.4 million people. Possibly up to 2.5 million people. That's the population of Gaza Strip. And Trump has just said they're going to need to relocate 1 million to 1.5 million people. He actually changed that on another report where he said it's going to be 1.7 to 1.8 million people. So perhaps he realized what he's done. But by even saying that, by coming out originally and saying that's 1 to 1.5 million people, well, we're told that 45,000 people have died in Gaza. That's what official reports have been like for the last 6 months. They've just kept this figure. 45,000, 47,000, 43,000, always changes, but it's in the 40,000s. And then Trump says you're going to have to relocate 1.5 million people when the population of Gaza was 2.4 million. So if that's the case, well, what happened to the other 900,000 to a million people that don't seem to be accounted for or buried under rubble? You know, I've said to you for months that the death count in Gaza is far, far higher than what we're being told. And Trump kind of confirmed it with that statement. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. What I was saying before was all of the aid that Trump has removed from US aid agencies, these are all just lower levels of Shabbos Goy. These are, well, you know, appear to be high levels to you, CEOs of corporations and companies and all sorts of stuff. But to them, these are just lower level plebs, just Shabbos Goy who've been doing their work for them. And now they're pulling funding from them. Saying, okay, you've done your work. We're going to throw you on the pile now with everybody else. Thanks for getting us to where we wanted to go. You know, we're going to take over Gaza. We're going to set up Israel as being the central command center for the rest of the world. We're going to pull ourselves out of the UN. We're going to pull ourselves out of humanitarian agencies. It's another thing Trump's doing, is pulling the US out of all foreign international humanitarian organizations. Fuck humanitarian rights. We don't need human rights. No, none of that. The US has got its own Bill of Rights. Fuck the rest of the world. We're just going to go and screw it. It's like, you know, I've said to you, Israel's government is now taken over the United States government. It's just an extension of Israel now, the United States. Israel is going to really go full on against the rest of the world through economics and all sorts of stuff. Now, you can't accuse it of war crimes. If you accuse it of war crimes, then we're going to attack you. We're going to accuse you of anti-Semitism, the way Trump has just put sanctions against the ICC. So there's no international criminal court anymore. He's getting rid of that. As dysfunctional as it was, it could have been put to some use, but no, he's getting rid of that. He's getting rid of any connection to human rights internationally. He's joining America at the hip with Israel, and Israel is set to take over the world. And now they've finished with all these small agencies, all these aid agencies that were doing things like providing propaganda videos in Iran and sending condoms to Mozambique. You know, just ridiculous stuff. Set up basically for money laundering, just so that, you know, rich people who are people of influence could be paid millions of dollars to just keep their mouth shut and keep the agenda going to the direction that they want it going. That was the plan. That's what all they were doing. But now they've outserved their usefulness. So Trump's just taking all the money that he was sending to them, and now he's sending it to Israel. That's what it's all been about, folks. They're just consolidating their power, and America is working to isolate itself from the rest of the world. As I said, this is one of the plans. He's going to isolate America from the rest of the world and set it up as being connected to Israel, and get all the other governments of the world involved if they can. If they won't capitulate, then we stage anti-Semitic attacks and replace the government, the way they're doing in Australia. More anti-Semitic attacks in Australia. You know, graffiti being placed all over the place. Western Australia, Sydney, Melbourne. Anti-Semitic attacks all over the place, folks, because they want to replace the Albanese government with another government that is more Israeli-friendly. The Peter Dutton government, the other side of the coin. Yeah, even whether Albanese is doing it or not. I mean, whether he actually means what he's saying when he's sort of against Israel, you don't really know, whether it's just part of the theater show. But that's what they're doing, folks. They're consolidating their power. They're working to crash the world economy. And Trump has done so many things. Like, it's just ridiculous how many things he's done, how many executive orders he's signed. Like I said, some of them are great. The fact that he's saying no such thing as transgenderism and there's only two genders. I mean, the fact that you've got to sign an executive order to say there's only two genders, I mean, seriously, is this what we've come to? We had that beautiful world that I showed you at the start, and now you've got to sign an executive order for people to know that there's only boys and girls in the world, men and women. It's crazy, you know. But of course, all this had to be done, so it would appear that he's coming along to fix everything. Oh, he's fixing everything, all right, folks. He's fixing it all to work towards total Israeli domination over the entire world. That's what he's fixing. It's incredible. But some of the stuff he's done, you know, like removing all the human rights, wanting to take over Gaza. He removed $1 trillion from government spending, and he has pulled out of virtually all international agencies, especially international aid agencies. Like, he's pulling out of the WHO, which is a good thing. He's just saying the UN is useless, we don't need it anymore, which is a good thing. But of course they want to set up their new UN with Israel at the top. This is something they talked about like a year ago. As soon as Benjamin Netanyahu got charged with war crimes, they said that we want to get out of the UN, we want to replace the UN, it's just an anti-Semitic organization. Because you can't be possibly saying anything against Israel, we would never hurt anybody. Meanwhile, they're just going in and just mutilating children, raping, pillaging, plundering, creating as much mayhem as possible under the guise of self-defense. So the plan is to remove the UN, to remove all of these World Health Organization agencies and all sorts of shit like that. And he's done some token stuff, you know, like he's removed security clearance for Joe Biden and a bunch of Democrats and stuff. But it makes you think that there's a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. There's not. It's one thing. It's just a different side of the same coin. Always all leading towards the same place, folks. Yeah, like I said, he's going to replace so many federal workers with AI and use AI to make the decisions. He's still pushing for control of Canada. He still wants Canada. He still wants Greenland. He still wants control of the Panama Canal. And the people down in Panama are saying this is completely ridiculous, but he's pushing it anyway. And like I said, he still wants to displace all the people from the Gaza Strip, which is completely absurd, you know. And it shows that he has no real clue of what's going on over there at all. He doesn't have any clue what the Palestinian people feel or what the land means to them. Or maybe he does. Maybe he's just a psychopath, which, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look at some of the shit he's doing. But I tell you, he's a good actor. But the fact that he's got so many people still supporting him is remarkable. Still posturing against Mexico as well. You know, if he imposes these 25% tariffs on Mexico, of course Mexico will do the same thing in retaliation. When it isn't retaliation at all. But what can you expect with a new Jewish president of Mexico? You know, it's really heading for an interesting time, folks. And this is everything that we said was going to happen. So, yeah, hold on to your hats, folks. Be prepared for what's coming. Because he's pumping out these executive orders. A lot of them have got to be approved, of course, but, you know, he's still pumping them out. And look who we have here. Fancy running into you outside your own house. Walking the dog. How are you, brother?
Oh, with apples. Yeah, doing great. Just got out of a Tesla bath. Feeling awesome.
I'm going to go and have one after I've done this. That'll be good.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Jews, psyops?
Jews, psyops, the fact that Trump is crashing the economy. The fact that he's removed all the funding from the Shabbos Goy and now he's sending it all to Israel. Thank you, you've all done your job. Now you can go have a nice life and we're going to send everything to Israel. It's incredible. Israel's taking over the world. They think this is their big moment. They're overjoyed at Trump's plan to claim Gaza. And it's all heading exactly where they want.
Yeah, it's incredible to see how many people have been fooled by it again, like always. And I can kind of understand why they are. You know, if they don't know what we know, and they're just watching these clips of, oh, Trump just sort of took over Gaza. It's like, oh, okay, maybe he's going to, like, make it all better. And all that sort of stuff. But they don't know what we know, that this is all part of a greater Israel project that they've had in place for a long time. And then they look at, oh, look, he's got the Doge, and he's going to, you know, cut all these things. Did you know the USAID, which they just have been exposing some of the stuff in there, is 0.7% of the annual budget of the U.S. government. So they're cutting like a couple points of a percent, showing all the crazy stuff they've been doing, which is, you know, what they do. They're like, oh, look how bad the Democrats were. Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, go get them, Trump. Meanwhile, he's cutting like this much. He's not cutting anything that's actually going to make any change. And actually, they're going to put that U.S. aid into the State Department, it's going to be under their control even more. And as you were talking about earlier to me, they also are getting rid of all the auditor type stuff and putting that all. It's sort of like turning into like a dictatorship, but people can't see it.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. They just do it every single time, and they're so good at it. You have to give them credit. Like, they're really good at what they do.
Oh, yeah. And the guys there with the USAID stuff, I mean, this is the very bottom level of the ladder. So they get rid of those Chabos goy there, and it makes it seem, like you say, it makes it seem like they're actually doing something incredible. Oh, look, they're taking $1 trillion off the economy by closing all these departments and replacing the decision-making with AI,
yes,
which is everything we warned about. This is what the gradual takeover, and, you know. But people can't see the forest for the trees. It's actually remarkable. Now they've done that, they're going to go further up the food chain. And you notice with all the USAID that he pulled, everybody but Israel got their aid pulled. Israel's aid actually increased because all the money they were sending off to all those other places, they can now send off to the overlords in Israel.
Yeah. You know? And they've got so many of the Trump people all thinking he's the savior because he almost got, you know, he almost died for their sins.
I can't imagine.
With a fake assassination.
I can't imagine anyone still believes that assassination shit, man. Like,
You know, it's incredible, but they got the most people still in the matrix. They got them in the system. It's just incredible how they do it. And we'll see what's going to happen, though. You know, I did say when Trump, before Trump got in, I actually predicted he was going to get in. And then I said, he'll do some good things. He has to, right? He absolutely has to do some good things. He can't just do all.
Well, that's why they made it so dystopian with the last administration. Yes. Like, you had to write an executive order to say there are only two genders, for fuck's sake.
And that you can use plastic straws in the land of the free.
Yeah. Executive order about plastic straws. I mean, like, all this stuff that they put in place was to make the world so freaking nuts.
My son's driving the car here.
We got a little... Look at the driver here. Check this out. Mexico. Hello. Hello, Helios. Hey, Helios. Hey. That's his drive around here. Mexico. You got to love Mexico, folks. It's a great place. I'll get away from the car horn. Anyway, thanks for the chat, brother.
Yeah. Mention, you know, Narcopoca is starting in less than 2 weeks. And you can get actual virtual if you're not coming to it. So just go to the Narcopoca website.
I'm coming to it.
Yeah, I know you're coming to it. I'm talking to the camera here. Give a little promo for it. But I think it's going to be an amazing event this year.
Yeah, me
and
too.
It's probably going to be our last one here at the Secret Garden. Yeah, you can still get it online. You're probably not going to be doing too many videos that week. Neither will I. So people can watch all of our videos. David Icke. Stu Peters will be there, which is interesting. And actually, they've been talking. The Anarchapoco producer, Catherine, said to me, a bunch of people are saying it seems to have an anti-Semitic vibe at the event this year. And I was like, I didn't even respond, but I was like, well, you know, the Jews are trying to kill everyone and take over the whole world right now. Not that they're Semitic, but, you know, a few of us have noticed and are talking about it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, they're genociding 2.4 million people in Gaza at the moment. It's just...
It's anti-Semitic. We're anti-Semitic.
Yeah, of course. You know, we're anti-genocide. Unbelievable.
All right, have fun.
Thank you, brother. It's a wonderful world, folks. And they're preparing a new scamdemic as well. So they put all this stuff in place, get rid of all human rights and all association to aid agencies and all sorts of shit like that, and then have another scamdemic and lock all the people down again. It's all about compliance. You know, start their 15-minute cities. I mean, all this bullshit that they're doing. But they're talking about bird flu now. You know? And of course, if they remove themselves from the WHO, then it can all be done by different countries under their own guidelines. And that's what they're talking about. There's been so much stuff come out about the jab as well. I mean, so many people have realized that it's done permanent damage to them. There is a report that came out, I'm not sure what country it came out of, but it said that there are thousands of children who had their eyesight damaged because of spending so much time out of natural light during the lockdowns. So it's still coming out, all this stuff, but they're still planning another one. Meanwhile, they're planning a total world takeover. And you think about how this is going to go, folks. Like, putting these tariffs on, crashing the world economy the way they're doing, and they're showing you that they're getting rid of the lower levels. As I said, all these people from these aid agencies that were collecting billions of dollars, This is just the lower levels of the rungs. They're now getting rid of them. They're going to climb up the food chain further and further. They're even starting by saying they're going to replace many government officials with AI. They're literally going to remove so many government positions. There's actually a pushback against that. There's a Supreme Court pushback against Trump sacking so many high-level ministers and things because they're saying it's unconstitutional or whatever. So they're trying to stop it. But to the people out there, it appears that he's making government smaller, but what he's doing is actually consolidating power into fewer and fewer hands. That's what he's doing. And by removing all of these aid agencies, bringing in all these tariffs and crashing world economies all over the place, is basically, you remember Holodomor, we've talked about it many times, this is basically a worldwide Holodomor 2.0. Think of the Irish potato famine, which wasn't a potato famine. It was the UK trying to starve out the people of Ireland. And think about Holodomor, what happened in Ukraine. This was no natural event either. And now put that on a world scale. That's what we're heading towards, folks. And that's what all this is about. And Trump wanting to take over Gaza, I mean, like I said, it's almost like he wants it to be like a wedding present for his daughter and her psychopathic husband or something. It's just sick. And the people of Palestine will never put up with it. The whole world is outraged that he would even say it. Except Israel, of course. They're overjoyed that he said it. And so many people still think, oh, he really stabbed Netanyahu in the back by doing this. No, Netanyahu was overjoyed. Like I said, Netanyahu had a PDF of what his plan for Gaza Strip was. I'm sure Trump's going to look at that, and as a land developer, he's going to say, oh yeah, this is a great idea. You know? So, and meanwhile, like I said, he's isolating the United States with all these tariffs and, you know, closing the borders and all this shit. A lot of good stuff he's doing. You know, the borders need to be secure if you're going to have this any type of a system like we've got. Well, of course you need secure borders. But you've got to be able to see that all this stuff was done simply so he could come in as the white knight on the big horse and save everybody. And the fact that you've got to put out an executive order to use plastic straws, put out an executive order to say there are only two genders, put out an executive order to say men can't compete in women's sports. I mean, this is a joke. If you can't see how contrived this is, I don't know, folks. But it's an absolute joke that he would even have to do that sort of stuff. So he's fixing stuff that's blatantly obvious. And like Jeff said, he's all of these aid agencies, this is literally 1.7% or 0.17% of the US economy. It's nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. But it looks like he's doing all these great things. It's a scam, folks. It's an absolute scam. But anyway, that's about all I've got to say for now, folks. Something I really want you to look at as well is an article that was written by my friend Nadal. A lot of people have been asking how Nadal is. Well, he's survived so far, folks. He was trapped down in Rafa for a long time. He's now gone back to his home in northern Gaza to find that his home is gone.
Finally today, the dream of 1 million has come true, going back to the north of Gaza City. As we see, walking with the rubble is a big struggle. People are taking some rest while walking to the north.
He lived in, I think it was Beit Hanun. And he spent 11 hours walking from Rafah in southern Gaza. He spent 11 hours walking back to his house. And he couldn't even really find where his house was. And he's written a very compelling, very powerful article about this journey and what it meant to him and how he felt when he got there. This is deplorable what Israel's done. They've literally destroyed everything, like all the memories. Like you think of the place where you took your first steps, where you buried your mother, or a place where you there's so many memories we have of where we grew up in our childhood. I remember places and things that I did in Adelaide that if I ever go back to Adelaide, I'll go to those places and I'll relive those memories. This is what's been taken from the people of Gaza. So much more than life and real estate. All of their memories, every single thing that once was. I mean, Israel just methodically went out of its way to destroy every house, to destroy everything in every house. Every time they leave an area, they set fire to the houses in that area and make sure they burn everything. This is ethnic cleansing. Ethnic cleansing takes many forms. It isn't just killing people. It's doing exactly this, destroying their life, destroying their memories, destroying any hope they have of rebuilding, making the place unlivable in the hope that they'll leave and never come back. This is what ethnic cleansing is, folks, and this is what Israel has done. But Nadal wrote a very powerful article, and I implore you to go and read it. And if you can spare any money, please send him a donation. There's a link below this video. If you click plus more, I've had a link there for a fundraiser for Nadal for many, many months throughout this entire genocide. Please consider giving him some support. Another thing I want to mention as well is there's a friend of mine, a guy who actually gave me my de-googled phone. He's a lovely guy. He's an Australian guy. And he's got this land thing going on, like a community that he's creating in Paraguay. And I think the link is newoz.world. You can go there and check it out. If you're thinking about getting out of Australia, a lot of people are thinking about getting out of Australia because it's coming pretty totalitarian. They brought in new legislation now where you can basically get 6 or 7 years in jail. I think this came in at the end of last year, 2024, where you can get 6 or 7 years in jail for basically speaking out against the Jews. For basically saying something that may offend somebody, you can get 6 or 7 years jail. So there's no free speech anymore, no free thought anymore. You can't express your opinion anymore. You may offend someone, and therefore you may get 6 or 7 years in jail for that. This is what's happened to Australia. So a lot of people are leaving. Food prices are going right up, apparently. I mean, it's getting pretty dystopian there. So if you're thinking of getting out of Australia, he's got this land thing happening in Paraguay. And apparently you go there for 5 or 6 days and you can get full citizenship and everything all taken care of in one visit. He's got a very reputable lawyer that's doing all of this. And you can go there, you can become part of this community, you can get citizenship, your tax ID, all that stuff within 5 or 6 days, and it's done. And and Paraguay as well. I mean, it's kind of about the same latitude as like New South Wales. So you're still in the Southern Hemisphere, and it's about like New South Wales. It's very jungle land, very green. It's a beautiful place, Paraguay. But if you're thinking of getting out of Oz, that's something to think about. Also, he said if you mention my name, he'll give you a 10% discount on the fee for doing all this. And so, yeah, you'll get it a little bit cheaper. So, and I'm not affiliated with any of this land stuff, folks, but he just sent me this message. And he's a good guy. Like I said, he's the guy who gave me my de-googled phone, which I put my bank app and stuff on. So he's just a nice guy. And I've met him a couple of times. He's a good guy. So if you're thinking of getting out of Oz, that might be something that you could look into. As Jeff mentioned, an Acapulco is happening at the end of this week, like 7 days from now, an Acapulco. It's come around really quick. You can get virtual tickets, like you said. I think there might even still be a couple of on-site tickets available as well. Again, even for virtual tickets, if you use my name, Egan, IGAN, you'll get a 10% discount on your ticket. So do check that out. Also, with the Tesla machine, I might have mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, like I healed this guy with his trauma on his leg, had a surfing accident. I helped this guy with his Bell's palsy, and after like 7 or 8 treatments over a week or 2 period, that was cleared up.
And then I had a young friend come down. She's about 20, 21. And she contracted myocarditis from a blood transfusion. And she came down and stayed at my house for maybe 2 weeks, maybe three, 2 or 3 weeks. And she got on the machine almost every day, not every day, but almost every day, sessions ranging from 15 minutes to 1 hour. And then she left, went back to Zihuatanejo, and she went and got tested when she got back there, and her myocarditis is gone, which I find incredible, absolutely incredible. As far as I know, and on the, you know, health or medical website, myocarditis is incurable. Now, there's no cure for myocarditis. It's swelling of the heart. You've just got to take it as it comes. And, you know, it's essentially a death sentence, myocarditis. If it doesn't kill you straight away, then it's probably going to kill you within 5 or 6 years. That was my understanding of myocarditis. And I was horrified that she contracted this through a blood transfusion. And she wasn't jabbed or anything like that. But she jumped on the Tesla machine, like I said, like 2 or 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. And like almost every day, not even every day, but almost every day, and it's gone. And I'm overjoyed to hear that, I really am. And actually her mother, who has fibromyalgia, is gonna come and visit me tomorrow, and I'm gonna give her my machine to take home until the next weekend, and she can treat herself and try to get rid of her fibromyalgia. Because I don't particularly need it here. I mean, Jeff's got two machines already set up here, so I can use his. I'm staying at Jeff's place for a week until the conference is happening. And then after the conference, while the conference is on, I'll be staying down at the conference. And then I'll be around for a few days after the event. And then I'm going to go off traveling around the place and see where I end up. I mean, I'll end up back in Mexico eventually. I'll be back in Mexico by the end of the year. That's the plan. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff stored here. I was going to send a whole bunch of stuff just home and put it in storage there. And I thought, well, what am I doing that for? I'm just going to want to get it sent back again. So I've just put it all into storage here, my guitars and a few things like that. And I'm going to take off and see a few people and see a few things and get a few roots planted somewhere if I can. And I'll see where I end up. But I, like I said, I will end up back in Mexico by the end of the year anyway. But it's going to be a little intermittent with videos over the next month, I would say. I know it has been anyway, and I my humble thanks to anybody who's given me a contribution despite that. But, I mean, I'll try to get one done before the conference. I think the conference starts on Sunday or Monday next week, and it's Sunday now, so I might be able to get another video done between now and then. I might even be able to get one done while I'm at the conference. That'll be interesting. Maybe just a short one, but I might be able to, I just don't know. And then I'll try to get one done after the conference, because after the conference I'm going to be kind of in a state of flux for probably 10 or 12 days, maybe up to 2 weeks, until maybe March 12th or March 14th. And it probably won't be until March like 14th or something that you actually get another video from me at that point. But there's an opportunity for me to do perhaps 2 or 3 more before I get mobile again, which will be around about, I don't know, maybe February 25th. I'll be kind of moving into a state of flux, but there might be a chance for me to get a video done before February 25th, 1 or 2. And then, like I said, the next ones you'll get will be after, like, probably March 12th, March 14th, something like that. Kind of up in the air at the moment, folks. I've got a lot of stuff on. But I think that's all I've got to say. I mean, that's all I had on my list, I think. Now, we really are heading for an AI takeover of everything, and a crashing of the world economy, because, like I said, you know, this international codependency, this is something that I warned about back in my first film in 2008, The Big Picture. I said we've, you know, a system of international codependency whereby everyone is dependent upon food trucks, we're all truckitarians,
And this has put us in a really, really dangerous place. We're being set up. I said this in 2009, we're being set up. 2008, we're being set up through international codependency. We're being set up for a fall. And they've taken autonomy away from everyone. There's no nation that knows how to look after itself properly without the help of other nations. And there are certainly no people who know how to look after themselves properly. Well, there's a few, of course. But generally, as a whole, our society is completely dependent upon itself. I mean, all the people within our society are completely dependent upon the society to function and look after all their needs. They don't know how to do it on their own. That's one of the worst things that's happened over the last 100 years, folks, is a loss of life skills. That's why I've said so many times, one of the best things you can do is to get back in touch with your life skills, because you're going to need them. A lot of more 2.0, folks. That's going to be the result. The result of removing any connections to humanitarian agencies, the isolation of the United States, the crashing of the world economy, the transferring of all world power to Israel. And these Jews, folks, a lot of more Bolshevism, Rhein-Wiesen-Lager, the bombing of Dresden, all this shit that they've done. They've killed millions upon millions upon millions of people. They've been expelled from 109 countries over 130 times. Do you really think that they have your best interests at heart? They don't. And they're showing you now by kicking the ladder out from the bottom rungs by the people that were getting funded by USAID and some politicians that they're kicking out as well and replacing them with AI. Again, there's legal challenges against this, but they'll overcome it. If the legal challenges work, they'll just find another way to do it. You know, they're working so that by the time Trump leaves office, it won't matter who the next figurehead is. I mean, it doesn't matter anyway, but it especially won't matter because the next figurehead, they won't even be signing executive orders. It'll all be controlled by AI, the whole thing. All this is going to be put into place over the next couple of years, most of it this year. That's what they're heading for, folks. So buckle up. We're in for a really interesting time. Yeah, as I've said, I mean, you can still be negative about it. I mean, there's a lot we don't want that's going on. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of really bad shit happening. But I still see it as a time of great opportunity. I mean, even the Trump-tards are waking up to the fact that, hang on, we didn't vote for this. We didn't vote for the takeover of Greenland. We didn't vote for the creation of the North American Union. We didn't vote for the annexing of Canada. I mean, all the stuff he's doing. But again, he does it in amongst the other stuff. Reducing the size of government, yeah, getting rid of all these government departments, getting rid of all this USAID, getting rid of all the USAID, but by the same token, increasing aid to Israel and then putting in the tariffs. So not only do they get that USAID money back, none of it goes to you. You actually pay 25% more for everything. It's incredible. And they're cheering it on. Cheering it on. Yeah, yeah, we need to annex Canada. We need to do this to make America stronger. You know, if it was the Democrats doing it, if it was anybody else doing it, they'd be up in arms about it. You even got Alex Jones in there supporting it. He's become a full, you know, spokesperson for the New World Order, Alex Jones. We knew he was controlled opposition anyway, but, you know, they're so confident. I mean, their hubris runs so strong that they really believe they've won. Now, we can roll out the plans for what we want the new Gaza to look like. We can roll out the plans to annex Canada and Greenland and all this stuff. We can roll it all out and there's nothing you can do. We can sack all these government people, do all this stuff. I'm just going to come in here. I'm going to rapid fire executive orders. None of it's going to go through Congress or any of this shit. I'm just going to sit here and put out my dictates, which are all being given to me to put out. You know? And people still think he's on your side. People still think he pulled a switch one on Netanyahu by saying he wants the US to control Gaza. No, Netanyahu loves the idea. Because Israel controls the United States. If the United States controls Gaza, then Israel controls Gaza because Israel has the United States in its back pocket. The entire government system in the United States are Zionist Jews. I've said to you before, the current US government, the current US administration is more pro-Israel than the current Israeli administration. And that's saying something. So yeah, hold on to your hats, folks. We're in for a pretty bumpy ride. Yeah, what's going to come through the other side? But what's going to come through the other side is consciousness, is us. Like I've said many, many times before, there's nothing to fear about the impending collapse of the slavery system. All you've got to do is not participate in it. Non-compliance, folks, is how to get through all this shit. Now, don't comply with their whole AI system. Don't comply with their digital currency. Don't comply with any of this shit. Don't comply with the whole AI thing. And it's up to us. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining on this report, folks. Thank you to all the people who sent me so many kind emails. Thank you to all the people out there spreading information. There was a couple of Australian guys who got blacklisted everywhere. Blair Cottrell, I think his name was, and another guy. They went on to an Australian show. An ex-sports presenter has created his own podcast because I guess he needs some meaning in life. He's getting old. And he got these two Australian guys on there. And he normally gets like 3,000-4,000 views on his podcast, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 on YouTube. And he had these two Australian guys on. He got like 29,000-30,000 views. All of the comments were overwhelmingly positive in support of these guys, but they were speaking out against Israel. And he labeled them white supremacists. And then the next thing you know, he's pandering to Avi Yemeni, who's putting a little, you know, round hat on his head and all sorts of stuff, and treating him like a Shavos Goy. And apologising for the show and all sorts of shit. It's freaking incredible. But thank you to those guys, Blake Cottrell and whoever the guy was with you, for speaking out. It's great to see people doing this. More and more people are realising that all of these false flag attacks we're seeing in Australia are all exactly that, false flag attacks, all being staged by Jews.
In 2024, new Australian laws took the right of Australians' inalienable right to free speech on the back of Australian Jews, whining about anti-Semitism incidents, which most people suspect Jews are perpetrating. The 2024 Melbourne Balaclava, Australia, Adas Synagogue fire culprits were never identified. This is despite CCTV in the area and cell tower identification of mobile devices in the locality at the time of the early morning fire. In Sydney, meth heads have been hired to graffiti and load a caravan with explosives and conveniently leave in the van the addresses of Jews to target. The police seem incapable or politically unwilling to identify Jewish and Israeli assets operating in Australia who are fomenting discord and fear to politically capture Australia for Israel. There are just over 120,000 Jews in Australia, yet in concert with a bought and paid for media and traitorous politicians, Jewish pressure has been able to have introduced laws to silence Australians from criticising Jews or Israel. This is while Israel engages in genocide in Gaza, where Australia's policy is to preserve human rights and a two-state solution, which Israel and most Australian Jews reject. Hence the motive of Jews to capture Australia's foreign policy by any means, lawful or unlawful. This is why Australia is seeing fake anti-Semitic incidents, which Jews themselves are conducting. They're known as false flag attacks. Because of Australia's recently beefed up hate speech laws, with poor definitions of what is offending speech under the law, Australians have been silenced with the threat of 6 years mandatory imprisonment, taking away the judicial prerogative to test facts against the law and determine guilt or innocence and apply any penalty, which includes non-custodial sentences. The Australian democratic separation of powers for the judiciary to operate independently has been crushed. This should concern lawyers, judges, human rights activists, and every Australian. The Melbourne Australia nationalist and freedom of speech activist Jacob Hersant is saying what most clear-thinking Australians believe. Australians want their country back from Jews. They want their free speech restored as guaranteed under the Australian Constitution to express themselves politically. Australians are under siege by 120,000 Jews for Israel. The politicians have abandoned Australians to do the bidding of Jews. This should concern every Australian. Following, you'll hear Jacob Hersant, whom the Australian government has banned from major social media platforms. Jacob can be found on the Telegram app or at these contacts. Support Jacob or your right to dissent will be totally extinguished in Australia. You should know that one day when you reach for your voice, you might find it's been totally eradicated. The Jews' desire not to be offended or Israel not to be criticised must not be paid for with the precious freedom to free speech. The anti-democratic hate speech laws must be repealed. Talk to your family, neighbours, colleagues and mates, and demand the politicians restore free speech in Australia. Organise, mobilise, and take to the streets if necessary. Tell your elected representatives at the federal, state, and local level they'll be gone at the next election unless the odious and opaque hate speech laws are gone. Australians will not tolerate the threat of 6 years mandatory jail for expressing opinions to which they're entitled.
Australia's leaders know that the so-called anti-Semitic terrorist plots are fake and have been conducted by petty criminals paid by overseas actors. It's clear that foreign powers want to create a crisis around anti-Semitism in Australia. Our leaders have decided to use these incidents as an excuse to take more of our political rights and make it illegal to criticise Jews and Israel. Traitor politicians will happily aid and abet foreign influence operations waged against their own people, if it means they can get extra points sucking up to the Jews.
Yeah, more and more people are waking up to this, folks, and that's good to see. So thank you to all the people who are spreading this type of information. Thank you to all the people out there on the front line. Again, thank you to anybody who sends me a kind email. I'm sorry, I just don't get a chance to answer them. I'm sort of even floating around at the moment. I don't actually live anywhere at the moment, so it's difficult to keep on top of all that stuff. And again, thank you to all the people, anybody who's ever made a contribution to the Crow House. It's been wonderful that you've supported me through all this, folks, and that we've managed to keep getting this message out. And I couldn't have done any of it if it wasn't for you guys. So I cannot thank you enough for the support that you've given me over the last about 10 years now. So I've been doing this a lot longer. I used all my money for the start, but then when I did open up the PayPal and I opened up the Patreon and stuff, which have all been kicked off now, of course. I'm kicked off everywhere. But when I did that, I mean, you guys came. You came and you helped and you kept me on air. And we've come a long way since then. We've reached millions upon millions of people. So thank you to all of you. Thank you to everybody out there on the front line in however it is that you contribute, whether it's just through sending a donation here and there, whether it's through getting out there and speaking at rallies, whether it's through making videos, whether it's simply from having conversations around the kitchen table. Thank you to all of you. We are the ones that are going to come through the other side of all this, folks. You know, once this whole massive die-off happens, which is happening from the jab and is continuing to happen, and once things change in the direction that they're going, society is pretty much going to split in two, I would think. Because, I mean, I'm not going to be participating in any of that shit, but I'm still going to be alive and living here, so I guess I'll be participating in society and in my life in a different way. But I think it's going to split in two, and we're going to be the ones that come through the other side. And again, there's places you can go. Like, come here to Mexico, check out this land development my friend is doing in Paraguay. It actually sounds quite good, folks. So it'd be worth going and checking it out anyway. And again, you can get a discount if you use, or at least tell him that I sent you. He'll give you 10% off. And yeah, so check it out. There is ways through this, but whatever you do, don't think it's just going to go away and you can just continue with this normal life and that a year from now we're just going to be, you know, the news is going to change. No, it's going to be a mass surveillance grid, cashless society. There's a lot of pushback against it, but if they continue to push it, that's where it's likely going to go. And if they don't get it done this year, well, they'll try for next year. If it doesn't work, well, they'll try for next year. They just keep trying. They do it increments, you know. I mean, they wanted to do and overtake those seven countries, five countries in 7 years, they said in 2002, and it's 2025, they still haven't done it. They are bombing Sudan now, or bombing Somalia, saying ISIS is there in Somalia. Yeah, of course they are. ISIS is Israel and always has been. But yeah, they still haven't done that. I mean, they're like, you know, 20 years behind schedule and everything they want to do. But don't think it's going to stop. Even if they don't get it done this year, well, they'll push for next year. And if that doesn't work, then they'll push for next year. And they'll get a little bit across. They always get a little bit across. It just depends on how much pushback there is. And the one thing they're counting on is that you'll give up and you just say, oh, it's hopeless. There's no more we can do. And you'll stop fighting. Don't ever do that, folks. Never, ever stop fighting for the truth. Never, ever stop fighting for freedom. This is just the way it had to go, you know? But if people maintain their focus, hey, we got this. Anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. I'm trying to stay out of the wind. That's why I'm sort of hugging the wall here. But I'm going to go for now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. It will be as soon as possible. again, thank you to anybody who's ever helped or supported or spread the message, and thank you to those who still continue to listen and who share. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.
Ants versus humans. Who can solve problems better? The point of this experiment is to determine whether ants or humans are better at maneuvering a T-shaped object through a maze. For this experiment, humans were prevented from communicating with each other, which replicates the limited communication abilities of ants. You can see that the ants did an excellent job at solving the problem. In fact, the experiment showed that ants are better than humans at solving this problem when working as a group. Ants' moves were done strategically. Human groups, on the other hand, didn't show the same level of coordination and cooperation as ants did. Humans were going after short-term solutions that seemed efficient, but were less effective overall. This is likely because each human in the group wanted to move the object in their own way. Ants, on the other hand, acted as a single, unified entity with one shared goal,